It's GPB. I'm Leah Fleming. Everyone wants to live in a thriving, beautiful neighborhood. So how do we get to that? Gentrification, or the process of renovating and improving a district so that it conforms to middle-class taste, as gentrification has been defined to mean, is the way to go, according to many people. But others say there's a problem with that. The process pushes longtime residents who are often low-income or Black out of the places that they've called home for years. That's where the racial and socioeconomic tension comes in. Atlanta is one city dealing with those tensions. Yesterday, we heard from Kamau Franklin, an activist who commissioned a Keep This Community Black mural in Southwest Atlanta.
From my perspective, I do want it to stay Black because I think that's important to the character and the history of this community. I don't think bringing in middle class or rich people in and of itself improves a community. I don't think that that's a solution. Land trust, community-owned properties, community involvement in development and saying, what are our needs? Do we need cleaners or do we need sort of shishi coffee shops, right? What do we need in our community to help make things easier for us to live?
Nathaniel Smith agrees. He's the founder of the Partnership for Southern Equity. Smith says gentrification is not the great equalizer.
Gentrification occurs when people who have the wherewithal to bring back communities that have been disinvested in focus more on attracting people who they believe have the ability to create better communities first without thinking about the people that are already there first. And what happens is you have this pressure, these market pressures that occur, policies and public finance and infrastructure. All of these things are used as a point of entry for new residents at the expense of people that are already there. And what we're seeing in Atlanta on many occasions in many of our most underinvested communities is individuals who have been marginalized and have not been supported through fiscal policy being put in a position of subsidizing their own displacement.
There have been studies that have been done on gentrification that have shown gentrification is not actually the problem. It's poverty, and it is poverty that has been going on for many, many years. I think that's what you're kind of describing.
Yeah, it's poverty, but to be completely honest, it begins before poverty, right? Poverty is the symptom of a deeper problem, and that problem is a value proposition that puts certain communities in front of the line and looked at as more valuable than other communities. And so our budgets, the policies that we support, the willingness that we have to subsidize the relocation of businesses or the development of large stadiums and other things at the expense of those communities continue to exacerbate the problems that we face in communities, in particular, the communities that are suffering the most.
So when you see a neighborhood in your community go from Black and working class to predominantly white, what do you think? Idris Kaloun is the U.S. policy correspondent for The Economist, and he challenges you to see it this way.
If you care about things like income segregation and racial segregation and white flight, and you think those things are bad, the process of gentrification is one that reverses those somewhat. And we know from the established literature that there has been reductions in crime associated with the process that we call gentrification, improvement in amenities such as schools, access to grocery stores, those kinds of things that I think make the picture a lot more complicated than it's typically portrayed.
He says longtime residents often reap the rewards of reduced crime and better amenities, and those who own homes often come out richer.
There's a tendency just to oppose improvement and not to think about, well, what is it that we want actually? And I also want to make the point that the opposite of a poor neighborhood getting more prosperous is it remaining poor. And we also know that there are substantial consequences for poor children, especially who live in poor neighborhoods. Their life outcomes sag tremendously, their incomes sag, their chances of finishing high school, their opportunities languish, I think. And so it's important to keep in mind that the counterfactual that we're dealing with is one in which a poor neighborhood doesn't become richer, it becomes poorer, and that has tremendous intergenerational consequences.
I know that you have said it is about not so much the neighborhood becoming gentrified as it is really improving the outcomes for especially the younger people that are living in these neighborhoods. That's what your research has shown.
Yeah. You know, in some cities, such as Baltimore, you will find that for every neighborhood that could be classified as gentrifying, 10 of them were poor 20 or 30 years ago and remain poor today. Now, the children that live in those neighborhoods are just not going to have the opportunities that they should be afforded. One of the things that is a solution to reversing this trend is improving integration by socioeconomic status. And if the process by which that happens is something we call gentrification, then I think that it will produce good benefits for those children.
That was Idris Kaloun, the U.S. policy correspondent for The Economist. You also heard from Nathaniel Smith, director of the Partnership for Southern Equity. You can find extended versions of our conversations about gentrification at gpbnews.org. This is GPB.